But this morning I want to look at a unique question found in Malachi 3, verse number 6. For he says, "For I am the Lord." I, underline that, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Here's a Bible question I want to preach out of this morning. Will a man rob God? You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good Spirit of God. Lord, thank you that I've got a good place to go to church this morning. Thank you for the songs of Zion that are still sung in this sanctuary. I want to pray for all my preacher friends today that are standing behind this sacred desk to preach the wonderful Word of God. Now, Lord, I pray that you let preaching be easy a few minutes today. And I pray that you'd use this time to be a blessing to the people of God. And I'll be careful and honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. The question opposed here in Malachi's writing, he came after the days of Nehemiah and Zechariah. Nehemiah had rebuilt the walls of the temple. The people had a mind to work. And there Nehemiah led a revolution. He is a great leader in the Bible, and they built again the walls of Jerusalem. Now time has went on and God sends a preacher named Malachi. And he starts out in verse 6 and he says, I want you to know something before we get started. That I am the Lord and I change not. Life may change. Your situation will change. But the Lord of this Bible never changes. That's why I'm never going to change the Bible I preach out of. Because the Lord don't change the Scriptures. The Lord don't change nothing about the Spirit. The Lord don't change nothing about the sanctuary. God is the Lord, and He changes not. He tells them to return unto me. And then he opposes that question in verse 8. Will a man rob God? He said, but wherein have we robbed thee? And he makes a statement. He answers his own question. He said, I tell you where you've robbed me, in tithes and offering. He said, you are cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open unto you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, today in this passage, will a man rob God? A lot of people say, well, tithing came from the law, and We live in the dispensation of grace, and therefore I'm excluded from the tithing of the law. But there's a problem with that statement. That statement is not biblical. For tithing came before the law ever came. Abraham, the father of our faith, he met that mysterious Bible character, Melchizedek, and he paid unto him the tithe of all. Then we find Jacob. Jacob paid a vow there on those stony pillows where he met God. And he told God, I will pay a tithe of everything that I possess. We live in a day and an hour where there are many charlatans that have filled the pulpits. Matter of fact, you'll not hear much preaching here on money messages, but what I want to preach to you this morning is a Bible fact on will a man rob God. As God asks that question, He answers it. It's amazing the answers that are in our Bible. He said, yes, I'll tell you how you've robbed me in verse 8 in tithes and offerings. Now look in verse 6 and verse 9. There's a proclamation. A proclamation. Here the Lord says that I change not. Then He says in verse number 9, He said, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, this whole nation. Not only the proclamation of this text, but in verse 10, there's the practice of this text. He said, bring ye your responsibility. God brings responsibility down to individuals. And you know, if I had to, I guess, teach a basic fundamental of young families and churches that is having progress with God, I would say that if you would apply this in your lives, it would be one of the basic steps in starting your family and seeing God bless your home. And that's simply getting in on the practice of tithing. You see, in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6, and verse number 38, Luke 6 and 38, I've never heard anybody have a problem with tithing that tithed. I've only heard a problem with people that won't trust God with their tithe that has a problem on a man preaching about tithing. Luke 6 and verse number 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with it shall be measured to you again. Now, I want to say you cannot outgive God. You cannot simply outgive God. And this practice of giving in our text, God says simply, bring ye. And then in verse 10, not only the proclamation, not only the practice, but look now at this priority. In verse 10, He says simply this, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse of God. You see, there is a priority that God wants us as individually. Listen, God is not wanting a reward. God is simply wanting respect or reverence. We worship with our giving. Giving has always been and always will be a part of our worship. Matter of fact, If we were going to really know how much we really loved God, we could tell it by our checkbook. If we really wanted to know, did we love God, then the banker could look at your finances and see really, do you love God? I realize there's people that has never been taught this fundamental truth. But I'm going to tell you that God said He's the Lord and He still hadn't changed. Now, this priority, in Leviticus 27 and 30, I want to show you what God says, how important it is to Him. In Leviticus 27 and verse number 30, He said, "And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem all of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." Do you realize that your giving to God is holy unto Him? This priority, will a man rob God? I want to ask you and get a little more personal from this title. Not only will a man rob God, but will you rob God? Will I rob God? So we see this priority in Malachi 3. But now, look at this percentage of this text. Verse 10, it is a tithe. That means simply 10%. You know, God is generous because He owns it all. Now, God being God, He could have said this, "I'm going to keep 90 and give you 10. But God is so merciful and gracious. You say, "Well, how do you come up with that, preacher?" Well, let me ask you something. If you sowed seed in the field, who owns the ground? Who sends the sunshine? Who sends the rain? Who made the seed? You say, "Well, I do this and I do that." Well, what if God stopped everything on your life today? What could you get accomplished? You can't pay money for your health, the air that we breathe. God owns everything this morning. And oh, how compassionate and merciful that He applies these lifelong standards to the child of God. That I'm going to give you 90, and you just give me 10. And here this morning we see this percentage. Now this percentage, I want to say, it's a level playing field, but I do want to say this. A 10% is a great measure for the poor. But the well off, it's not such a good measure. I want to say when we give our tenth and we think we're freed up with God, God is looking in our heart. God realizes what we are and who we are. Matter of fact, this percentage. We ought to be teaching our children to give their tithe unto the Lord. I mean, if they cut grass. The other day, Parker helped me pick up sticks. And so, you know, they want a whole lot by the hour. Parker was wanting $15. And I said, "Well, Parker, if you'll work 2 hours, I'll pay you $15. So he gets started, you know. And about 20 minutes, he said, "How long have we been working, Pop?" I said, "Not very long. Keep picking up sticks, amen." Well, he got done. I gave him his $15. Now I said, "Now, Parker, you remember this. You owe God $1.50 of that 15. He looked at me a little bit. And so he got his daddy off at the house. Then he said, "Daddy, how much does Southwire pay you?" So CC told Parker what he paid him. And he said, "Well, Daddy,
Pop don't pay me that much. Amen. But we ought to be putting this in our children that they give unto the Lord. You know, a lot of times the people will say, well, you know, they just preaching for money and they doing this. But that's the people that don't believe in tithing. That's the people that really don't love God and really care about what His Bible says. Now, you'll notice no preacher wrote this text. God wrote this text. And so I want to say there is the percentage. But in verse 10, look at the provisions. This is why God said He wanted the tithes to be paid. He said, bring y'all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. Now, God established this. God had that Levitical priesthood to live out of this treasury, out of this pantry. But also, He said that there may be meat in mine house. God wants to do great things for you go to church. God's very involved in missions. And when people give their tithes unto the Lord, then it frees up the hand of God in that ministry that the gospel may go around this world and be preached. It's used for shut-ins and sick, the down and outers. It's used for the youth. I want to say something this morning. Thank God for our youth. We've got a good crowd of young people. And I know a lot of churches, they don't want their young people to do nothing, be put up in a corn crib with blinders on. But I want to say, Brother Adam, Miss Gayla, I'm glad you're giving your time to work with the youth. And I'm glad we're in a church this morning that will back the expense to go out with these youth and teach them about God and let them have something. Honey, let me tell you, the principles run all through this Bible. God said, give, and it shall be given. Now this morning, we see this percentage, these provisions meet in mine house. You know, God, and I want to be real kind when I say this, but God has allowed me to see several churches in the last few years, and I can always tell where the hearts of the people are for what's going on in God's house. And my friend, this morning, God wants meat in His house, a place where people can come and feed and eat. Last night, we got invited to a great supper. Man, y'all ever heard of them green egg grill smokers? I got pork pulled off of that. We had some peanut butter sauce and apple juice and brown sugar. Stir that stuff together and put it in the microwave. See what happens to your tenderloin when you put it on it. What are you saying? I'm saying it sure was good to pull up to the table and eat something that helped me down the road. It's good to go to church this morning where there's some meat in the house. It's not only milk in the house, but God can do big things when we trust Him with our money this morning. Now, this is where I want to get to and I'll be done preaching. Some of you done heard enough already. Look, if you would, not only the provisions, but look in verse 10. I want you to see this. I want you to underline it. There's a promise in this text. Do you believe God keeps His Word? Do you believe John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? If you believe that verse, then you can believe this verse. Look what He says in Malachi chapter number 3 now, this promise, and simply in verse number 10, He says this, He says, bring ye all the tithe in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, watch, and pour you out a blessing. Your neighbor don't get blessed because of your tithing. But you get blessed for what you do. He said, I'm going to pour you out a blessing. And so here we see in this text that these great provisions, this great promise, I will open you and pour out on you. I wonder, is there anybody that's ever dawned on you that God has poured out something on you? That you know that you hadn't done it. Now, I got to thinking about this yesterday as I was preparing this little old sermon. Will a man rob God? Why would God say that? If a man was going to rob me, you know what that meant? It means that I would own it. And God says, folks, I own everything you got. Without Him, we would have nothing. You say, well, preacher, I'm a self-made man. No, you ain't. If God didn't let you get out of the bed last week, you ain't going to get nothing accomplished. Well, I ain't got to get out of the bed, preacher. I run my business on a cell phone with my mind. What if He let your mind shut down? Now, Brother Adam, you got a billfold in your pocket? And borrowed billfold. I'm not going to go through it. The women's getting so nervous, afraid I'm going to grab her pocketbook up, but... Let's say that I got this from Brother Adam today and I reached in there and there was a 10. I got it. Give it back to Brother Adam. I kept it. Was that my $10? Or was that the owner's $10? I think a lot of times we offend God by not recognizing how good He's been to us. Now, let's use Brother Mike. Brother Mike's great with finances. Amen, Brother David? Brother Mike's the only man I ever seen that can make something come out of just nothing. Just stuff I overlook. He can pick it up and make something out of it. But if I got that out of Brother Mike, he didn't know it, and he got down the road and he said, you know, I left my billfold with Brother Ken. I know I had a $20 bill in there. Why, look. He said, you know, I got a camera in my truck. I didn't know it. It's amazing what we get on video that people don't know about. He plays back his video and he says, well, good gracious. Man, got my billfold and got that money. Now, being the easy-going guy Brother Mike is, I don't know if he had ever approached somebody like that. But he'd have proof that they done that to him. Can I tell you, God is watching us in what we're doing. And God knows my heart. God knows what I'm doing. God knows what you're doing. Now, look what He says in verse 10. Not only this promise, but this proving. He said, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, there may be meat in mine house. And here's a key word in this text that I want you to understand and underline. Prove me now. When is now? Was that yesterday? Last week? I thought now's right now. He said, listen. He said, I'm a God that you don't have to prove. He says, He'll prove Himself. He says, prove me now, or just give me the chance. Let me show you that my word is good. I can remember me and Miss Renee had first started out. God called me in the ministry. I'd never been taught to tithe. And so I kept noticing there was a man from Ranburn kept coming, working on my washing machine. We had a pretty good washing machine. Every time I turned around, Brother Lee, that thing was tore up. I mean, Renee said, you got to get that serviceman. Well, one Saturday morning, he come over there working on it. He had his little bag on top of it just to work in. And I walked in there, and he witnessed to me. He said, I understand you're a preacher. I said, yes, sir. I'm not pastoring yet, but Lord's called me to preach. He said, well, that's great. He said, you believe in tithing? I said, yeah, I believe in giving. And this is what he said. He said, oh, I believe in tithing. I've been tithing ever since I say. He said, well, God sure is good. God sees about all my needs and blessing. And so it dawned on me. I wouldn't give God what was His. So God was getting my money from the washing machine repair man, and then he'd go put it over there where he went to church at. God's amazing how He can orchestrate things. He said, I want you just prove me. You know, Brother David said something when we first started years ago. And it stuck with me, Brother David, what you said. Now, I don't have no bones about it. I pay my tithes to the Lord. Brother David made a statement. He said, you know, preacher, I would challenge any family I've ever met that they would pay their tithe, be consistent, and at the year come back and see me and tell me that God hadn't blessed them. I want to see one of them. Now, I want to say this. Look what it says, prove me. Now, let's look at what he does in his proving. He says, prove me now, here we saith the Lord, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, hang on a minute. You know, all these big TV preachers, that's what's killed ministries trying to do right when they preach a message like this. Everybody's been hoodwinked by them snake oil salesmen. You know, send in your money, we'll send you a handkerchief anointed. Well, that's got nothing to do with nothing. That's sham. That's gimmicks. But God said, I tell you what I'll do. If you'll trust me, I'll pour you out a blessing on your account where you're at. And I'll promise I'll do that. And within doing that, he says something. My wife brought this to my attention several years ago. I'd never preached out of this verse much. And look right here. There shall not be room enough to receive it. You know what that means? It means a river that is overflowing out of its banks. Has God ever reminded you of how good He's been to you and things are overflowing in your life? I'm not talking about rolling in money. I'm talking about having things that money cannot buy. What's your children worth to you? What's your home worth to you? What's your friends worth to you? What is God worth to you? Here's what Mr. Nay pointed out to me years ago. I'd never preached out of it. Verse 11. And lastly, the protection of it. And I will rebuke the destroyer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. God said, I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to protect. This word destroyer means a consumer or an oppressor or a destroyer. Now, young people, I'm done preaching. I want to say this. One of the basic principles in your life, if you understand to give God what is His and live within your means, don't think just because you pay your tithe, you're going to get a new house. That ain't what He says. He says if you'll give God what is His, and He said, I'm going to pour it out on you.